Oh goodness. It's what is it? 1 o'clock on Wednesday. So yeah, normally I've been doing this on Thursday. Today I'm doing it on Wednesday because I got shit to do on Thursday. As a matter of fact, here's a little health, I don't know, thing for people if you're out there. I'm 44 years old. If you're over 40, you're supposed to have your colon checked every X number of years. So that's where I'll be in the morning is, you know, having a camera put up where the sun don't shine to see if there's anything wrong with me. So take care of your health, people. It's not comfortable, and I would say that probably nobody likes it, but hey, if they find a problem, and colorectal cancer is one of the most treatable types of things. If you catch it early, they just do their little laser thing or whatever that deal is and take the polyp and go on about your way. So, there's my healthcare advice. And again, I'm a doctor, but not the good kind of doctor. I'm the useless computer science type of doctor. So just, you know, go get a camera shoved up your ass would be my advice if you're over 40. That doesn't sound right. But anyway, healthcare cameras stuff, do the checks. Yeah, whatever. Okay, as usual, lots of things to cover, so I'm gonna move quickly here. I don't know why I say that all the time. I always do. Anyway, Engadget has an article. Microsoft Copilot has reportedly been blocked on all congressional-owned devices. Congress has also banned free ChatGPT. That happened a year ago. U.S. congressional staff members can no longer use Microsoft's Copilot on their government-issued devices, according to Axios. The publication said it obtained a memo from the House Chief Administration Officer Catherine Spindor, I believe, telling Congress personnel that the AI chatbot is now officially prohibited. Apparently, the Office of Cybersecurity has deemed Copilot a risk. And here's their quote: due to the threat of leaking House data to non-House approved cloud services. While there's nothing stopping them from using Copilot on their own phones and laptops, it's now blocked on all Windows-owned devices by Congress. So there you go. Microsoft told Axios that it does not recognize government users' need for higher security requirements. What? That makes no sense whatsoever to me. Last year, it announced a roadmap of tools and services meant for government use, including Azure OpenAI Service for classified workloads and new versions of 365's Copilot Assistant. I have Copilot on my computer. I don't know that I've ever used it once. Honestly, it's just fucking annoying because it'll pop up and try and do things for me that I don't need it to do. So I don't know. Maybe it's useful for people. Maybe not. I would say maybe not more. Anyway, I'll put the link to this article when I'm done in here as well. So just that you have it. Following on to that, let's talk about the Microsoft thing. With the quote, cascade of failures in China hack. The Independent Cyber Safety Review Board report knocks the tech giant for shoddy cybersecurity practices, lax corporate culture, and a deliberate quote, lack of transparency. Oh boy. A review board mandated by President Biden issued a scathing report, which I have the actual report Tuesday, detailing lapses by the tech giant Microsoft that led to a targeted Chinese hack, including those of Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo. The Cyber Safety Review Board's report, a copy of which the Post obtained before its official release, takes aim at shoddy cybersecurity practices, lax corporate culture, and a deliberate lack of transparency over what Microsoft, quote, knew about the origins of the breach. It's a blistering indictment of a tech titan whose cloud infrastructure is widely used by consumers. Uh-oh. The board issued sweeping recommendations that, if implemented, would dramatically strengthen the openness and security of the booming cloud computing industry. The intrusion, which ransacked the Microsoft Exchange online mailboxes of 22 agencies and organizations and more than 500 individuals around the world, was, quote, preventable and, quote, should never have occurred. Wah, wah. Perhaps most concerning, the board makes clear Microsoft still does not know how the Chinese carried out the attack. That's not good for the home team. Microsoft said in a quote to the board, we appreciate your work. So thank you very much. Fuck off. A Microsoft spokesman said recent events have demonstrated a need to adopt a new culture of engineering security on our own networks. Holy shit, it's 2024. Noting that the company had created an initiative to do so, whoopee-doo. While no organization is immune from cyber attack, true. From well-resourced adversaries, true. We have mobilized our engineering teams to identify and mitigate security layer. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, okay. It's 2024, too late. The report is the third and most significant review by the two-year-old independent board, which investigates such incidents so that government officials and the broader community can better protect the infrastructure of the nation. The board, made up of government industry experts, chaired by Robert Silvers, which is DHS Undersecretary for Policy. Mm-hmm. The 2023 Microsoft intrusions exploited security gaps in the company's cloud, allowing the hackers to forge credentials that enabled them to siphon emails from cabinet officials, as well as ambassadors to China. Wonder why they would do that, and other State Department officials. Throughout this review, the board identified a series of Microsoft's operational and strategic decisions that collectively points to a corporate culture that deprioritized both enterprise security investments and rigorous risk management. Ouch, double ouch, body slam. In other words, the report quote says security culture was inadequate and requires an overhaul. Now here's the scary part. The U.S. government relies on Microsoft as one of its largest providers of cloud services, with billions of dollars worth of contracts. Let's see. So Microsoft, the board found for months, did not correct inaccurate or misleading statements suggesting the breach was due to a crash dump or leftover data contained in the wake of a crash. In fact, the report notes Microsoft remains unsure if this event even led to the breach. The board faults Microsoft's decision not to correct in a timely manner its inaccurate public statements. So they covered their ass and whatever else. Let's talk about a couple of other things here in this report. This is a really interesting one. So after years of touting the strength of its cybersecurity, Microsoft, the world's most valuable company, has been beset by recent embarrassing breaches. In 2021, Chinese government-sponsored hackers compromised Exchange servers, targeting at least 30,000 entities and 200,000 individuals. In January, Microsoft detected an attack on corporate email systems by the Russian foreign spy service, the SVR. The spies broke into a testing unit, moving somehow from there into emails of senior executives. We call that lateral movement. Microsoft alerted its customer, HP, and then things went sideways from there. The report details what it calls a cascade of avoidable errors. For instance, Microsoft had not noticed the presence of an old signing key from 2000. Part of the problem was that Microsoft was supposed to switch from manual key rotation to an automated system, like everybody else should, that minimized the chance of human error, because humans are part of the problem. But that switch never happened. They never, quote, prioritized fixing the problem, a person at Microsoft said. Another error was the key worked on both business and consumer networks, which violates a standard protocol and government protocols. Oh boy, there were multiple points where just basic things would have made a difference. A third error noted in the report was that Microsoft security teams did not realize that an engineer whose firm had been acquired in 2020 was working on a compromised laptop that in 2021 was allowed access to corporate network. That's a year, folks. According to people familiar with the board's findings, there's no evidence that the injured machine was the cause of the breach, but it's a duck and it quacks like a duck and it walks like a duck. Though Microsoft suggested in its March update that a compromised engineering account is the lead hypothesis. So there's a lot of really good stuff in here. I could spend the entire time reading through just this thing. I won't, but go check this out. I'll put the link in here. You know, every company everywhere can be compromised. Like, that's the reality. Every business, every company, every person can be compromised. You can't be right 24/7, 365 all the time. That's just going to happen. The nature of existing means you're going to get hacked at some point. How bad is it? And are you able to deal with it is the real issue. And this one, like, there's like some cover-up-y type stuff. There's some bad practice type stuff. I mean, it just is a mesh of shit that no one wants to take a bite out of that sandwich. So I wouldn't want to be at Microsoft right now, especially if I was in the Microsoft government sector side of things. And that report was in the Wall Street Journal. So if you haven't heard of the XE issue, the XE backdoor, guess what, folks? Linux gets hacked too. Read this, and I used to do red team stuff, and Linux was actually something that everybody ignored all the time. I still even remember the Metasploit module that worked on Linux. Linux called XCUtils, which is an open source data compression utility available on most installation of Linux and other Unix-like operating systems, which would be like CentOS and Ubuntu and whatever else. The person or people behind this project likely spent years on it. They were likely very close to seeing the backdoor update merged into Debian and Red Hat as well. Mm-hmm. This is a quote from the person that discovered this. "This might be the best executed supply chain attack we've seen," described in the open. "It's a nightmare scenario. Malicious, competent, authorized upstream, a widely used library." Yikes. So what is XCUtils? If you're using Linux, you probably have this. Go check it out because it's a problem. XCUtils is ubiquitous in Linux. It provides lossless data compression on virtually all Unix operating systems, including Linux, basically. Duh. XCUtils provides critical functions for compressing and decompressing data. It also supports legacy .lzma format, which is very critical. So basically, what does the backdoor do? For versions 5.6.0 and 5.6.1, this thing modified the way the software functions. The backdoor manipulated SSHD, which everybody knows what that should be, or you should know what that is. The XCUtil file used to make remote SSH connections. So there you go. Anyone in possession of a predetermined encryption key could stash any code of their choice in an SSH login certificate, upload it, and execute on the backdoor device. No bueno. No one has actually seen code uploaded, so it's not known what code the attacker planned to run. In theory, though, the code could allow for just about anything, including installing malware. Oh no. So, more stuff in this. This is a pretty long report, but the basics of it is, in a nutshell, and this is a quote from the researcher, it allows someone with the right private key to hijack SSHD, the executable file responsible for making those connections. And from there, they can execute malicious commands, and they do it at the admin level. There's a five-stage loader, uses a series of simple but clever techniques to hide itself. And it also allows for new payloads to be delivered without major changes. So no bueno. Read this thing. If you're using Linux, which you probably are, go fix this and patch and whatever. Google to delete billions of browsing records in incognito mode. So it's not just Microsoft that is the, you know, empire of evil. Google's involved here. And if you've ever used incognito mode, which used to have the little dude with the hat and the look kind of spy or whatever, it was made to make you think the branding was made to make you think that you were, quote, incognito, when in fact you were not. Google has agreed to purge billions of data records reflecting users' browsing activities to settle a class action lawsuit. The class action lawsuit, which I have a copy of it here as well, filed in 2020, which is now 4 years old, alleged the company misled users by tracking their internet browsing activity, who thought that it remained private when using incognito. Mm-hmm. In late December 2023, it emerged that the company had consented to settle the lawsuit. The deal is currently pending approval by the district judge. The settlement provides broad relief regardless of any challenges, blah, blah, blah. Much of the private browsing data in these logs will be deleted in their entirety, including billions of event-level records. As part of the data remediation process, Google is also required to delete information that makes private browsing data identifiable by redacting IP addresses, generalizing user agent strings, and removing detailed URLs associated with visited websites. So, if you've ever used incognito, which I've used it, lots of us have used it, people have said, you've told your family, I've told my family, if you're trying to do something you don't want to be tracked, go use incognito. We were all being lied to. We were all being misled. Google was marketing something that was basically literally doing the exact opposite. Here's the rub. If you read through the actual filing, which I did, Google's not paying a fucking nickel for this. Like, they violated people's trust. They basically pillaged your data, and they told you in no unclear terms that this was, quote, incognito. Like, look at the little banner that you get, that you weren't being tracked, but you were. And they're getting out of it because they're going to go delete all of our stuff, but they're not being fined. So again, if you need proof or evidence that the evil empire continues doing what the evil empire does, and they don't really give a shit about you or me, there you have it. Like, they're not being fined. Google makes billions of dollars. They could stroke a check that could go to help fund a lot of really good programs, and they should, because this was super, super no-no, bad. But what's happening? Big fucking deal. This is the type of stuff that really irritates the hell out of me. I literally this morning just did a ZT thing for DOD, was talking about the definition of negligence and whatever else. And here we are with, there are clearly established laws and requirements and fines and all that stuff. And Google's going to slide right by on this one. How should we as the public look at that? I know how I'm going to look at it. So, you know, just know that you're being tracked no matter what you do, no matter what they tell you. If whatever the dude's name is running Google comes up right now and says, I swear to God, we're not tracking you, they're tracking you. You. Just know that. Oh, yeah. So that's that one. Let's move on to which one is kind of funny here. So if you haven't heard about this, the FCC has come up with this thing called a certification mark. U.S. cybersecurity labeling program for smart devices, and they have a bunch of cool logos here. And basically, this is the proposed logo for which the FCC is seeking a thing from the trademark office. It's been developed in conjunction with people, blah, blah, blah. But basically, what's going to happen is if you go to, I don't know, Lowe's or Home Depot, and you go buy a Google thermostat, which, by the way, I just literally got off a thing about Google doing a bunch of unscrupulous shit. Because they can work their way through the shenanigans of getting certified or compliance or whatever the fuck they come up with here, the FCC can issue this little badge, this little ticky mark, and people will buy it and they'll take it home and they'll say, this thing is cyber safe and it's been certified by the FCC. And they'll plug it into their wall and hopefully it's more secure than it is today. But in real terms, is it going to make a lick of difference? I don't know. Here's the interesting thing is if you go crawl through the requirements for this stuff, it's pretty nebulous. It's not exactly what I would, as a cybersecurity person who theoretically knows a thing or two about cyber, would say meets my criteria for issuing someone a sticky that says, you're super cyber secure. I just don't buy it. So be aware of that. If you get one of those nifty stickers, it's kind of like Google telling you they're not tracking you on incognito mode. They are. I mean, that's what's up. There's an article in Dark Reading. Conversation overflow. Cyber attacks bypass AI security to target execs. That didn't take long. Credential stealing emails are getting past our artificial intelligence known good email controls by cloaking malicious payloads with benign emails. This is a super old tactic. It's kind of surprising that it's as prolific as it is now. A novel cyber attack method dubbed conversation overflow, or aka talking too much, has surfaced, attempting to get credential harvesting phishing emails past artificial intelligence and machine learning enabled security platforms. The emails escape the algorithms through use of hidden text designed to mimic legitimate communication, according to /Next threat researchers who released an analysis on the tactic today. They noted that it's being used in a spate of attacks already, and it's getting around cyber defenses, so hooray, hooray. So the attack works like this. Cyber kernels craft emails with two distinct parts, a visible section prompting the recipient to click a link or send information, and a concealed portion containing benign text intended to deceive the algorithms. We've done this for a long, long time. We used to embed stuff in emails. This is old hat, but now it just works to slide by AI systems. Because here's the thing. It's not AI. Every time we say AI, somewhere a puppy dies. But the reality of what's going on is it's being marketed as AI, and people think that it's somehow self-aware and is smarter than whatever. It's applied machine learning and generalized intelligence, and there's ways to get past it. It's still a computer program. The goal is to convince the controls that the message is a normal exchange with attackers betting humans won't scroll down 4 blank pages to the bottom, which is true. What's the joke that the cure for cancer is on page 3 of Google results? In this way, the assailants can trick systems into categorizing the entire email and any subsequent replies as safe, because guess what? You're training the algorithm. So you're going, cool, clickety, click, 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 click. Yeah. There's interesting things in here about how they're doing it. It's a long article and there's lots of results and lots of examples, but the long and short of it is AI and ML can be tricked just like people can. And it's not AI. Again, just stone in my craw. It's not AI. Quit calling it AI. I won't go through this whole thing, but it's an interesting article. And this is in FT.com, Financial Times. The U.S. needs a better strategic narrative or it will cede influence to China, which I would argue we kind of already are in some ways. It's easy to drop a bomb and get approval to launch information fire. And basically, this is saying that it's this is an article that was written by a retired U.S. Rear Admiral who was who ran naval information warfare stuff and was the former commander at the ONI, Office of Naval Intelligence. So this dude knows his shit. But basically what his whole thesis is in this is that it is way easier for us as the U.S. to go off and drop a bomb on someone than it is to engage in the same types of tactics that Russia and China are doing to us and launch really vectored, really valuable, useful disinformation campaigns. And that would work because if you go to those foreign countries, man, you think we're on social media? I mean, they're on it. It would work, but we can't do that because we're the U.S. This is an immediate release from the White House, or excuse me, the DOD, establishment of the Office of the Assistant Secretary of Defense for Cyber Policy. Okay. Senior official responsible for overall supervision of DOD policy for cyber operations. Policy is mentioned here like 7 billion times. Let's see. The Secretary of Defense has designated Miss Ashley Manning, a career member of the Senior Executive Service. Okay, as the until such time. Michael Solmeyer is the guy. I talked about him recently. He's going to take over. But, okay, I mean, yeah, we need oversight, policy, lots of lawyering and those types of things. Is this earth-shattering? I don't know. I guess my question would be, did we not already have leadership at that level that was doing this stuff around policy? Because I remember doing keyboard stuff and having to deal with all the policy bullshit that came out of there. And it sure doesn't seem like we've been able to get past the policy limitations that we face. I don't know. Maybe it's just we formalized it. We have Dominus Patria Fili Santi, thou art blessed by Lord Biden or Trump or whoever to be the policy wizard. And maybe that's how it works. Yeah. yes. Okay. So this is a really jacked up website and I'm not going to throw it in here because it's stupid and pissing me off. So let's just do that. Here's the article, which I thought was kind of, I literally thought this was a joke, but it turns out that it's not. Cyber workers turning to crime, warned study. So maybe they've discovered my secret retirement plan. Disgruntled cybersecurity workers, including code developers and AI experts, are offering their services on the dark web for extra cash. Moonlighting. On top of that, other professions whose work may have been jeopardized are hiring themselves out to criminals. What's more, if the problem is not addressed by better salaries and working conditions, the cybersecurity industry could risk losing as many as 1 in 10 workers to cybercrime. The stark warning comes from the Chartered Institute of Information Security, CIISEC. Never heard of that before, but okay. Which trawled the dark web, so they literally went and did the research and found some alarming advertisements put up there by seasoned cybersecurity professionals. Oh shit, did they find mine? One by a Python developer offers to make voice over IP chatbots, group chatbots, AI chatbots, hacking and phishing frameworks for $30 an hour. The developer signs off as posting, Xmas is coming and my kids need new toys. I mean, hey, you know, you got to get that cheddar somewhere, right? Another developer with almost a decade's experience offers to make phishing pages, bank cloning, market cloning, crypto drainers, email spoofing, and says they're excited to try new projects out. A third wants to work hand in hand with AI using LLMs to help with coding, phishing, analyze documents more. $300 is their service. Let's see. I'm not just cyber pros. I'm a voice actor, reads one advertisement. I can help with jobs that require making calls like phishing. I can act like a loan applicant to get loans secured. I can act like an employee. Wow. And conduct social engineering ops. The actor adds, legit voice acting work has slowed down for me because of artificial intelligence, and I need to raise capital urgently. Let's work. I have an American accent. I don't know. This is awesome in a bad way, if that makes any sense. Yeah. Another advertisement claims to work in PR for a collective of hackers with members in Asia, North and South America, Europe and New Zealand. They go on to say they have recently carried out jobs, including hacking high profile Twitter accounts, doing crypto stuff, social media stuff, and taking company information. Here's what the ad says. When dealing with requests, we will not help anyone we consider to be using our services to put anyone in danger. How stellar of them. Their services started $100. $100. You can go off and be your own bad guy on the underground. This is a great research. Here's something from Gartner that shows that 25% of security leaders will leave the security industry in 2025 due to work-related stress. And that's just leaders. Salaries and long hours are contributing to this, and we're seeing the impact. Our analysis shows high-skilled individuals are turning to cybercrime. So if you're burnout as a CISO, I guess the next thing to do is to go off and commit crimes is what I get out of this. The good thing is if you're looking for a career change and you know your shit, go on the dark web, go on the underground, and then, you know, go off and make your retirement money. And the odds of you being arrested are exceptionally low. So I'm not saying you should. Don't say that I told you that. Don't say that Chase has said this is a good idea. I'm just saying, theoretically, if you're looking for a career change, you can make a lot of money and be a cyber criminal. Just saying. Yeah. Havana syndrome linked to Russian military agency GRU. So this is another one where, on a personal level, this really pisses me off. I have friends that are folks that work with some of the agencies that are mentioned in here, and I know one of them that's got a life-changing, debilitating, basic inner ear vertigo problem because of this Havana syndrome stuff. But here's the thing is, it's been tied to the GRU. We know what happened, but we're still farting around with like, well, is it a real attack or whatever else, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it's not kinetic, but there's people and families that have been sickened and hurt physically by this. So again, my question is, what does it take for the U.S. to do something about this? I will promise you, having been inside intelligence spaces in the past, we know plenty about where this came from. Not that I have insight knowledge. Don't send the FBI to my house. I'm just saying my experience tells me that we know something. If we don't respond to this type of literal, actual kinetic attack on people that causes health problems, along with the cyber stuff, we're just whipping boys and girls for the world. I can't imagine if you had, let's just imagine that you had like a U.S. office and it was in Havana and 10 Russians showed up and just took, I don't know, sticks and started beating the shit out of the first four people that walked out of the building. That would be super news, global coverage, whatever else. There would be repercussions. But because it's this nebulous sort of cyber thing and it's tied to, they call them unexplained health incidences, UHI. There have been more than 100 cases, by the way. We just let it roll. So, you know, evidence gathered by three media outlets links this attack to the GRU's Unit 29155, an entity entirely dedicated to assassination and political destabilization. Remember Alexei Navalny? Yeah, they were involved there. Their mission is to find, fix, and finish in support of Vladimir Putin's imperial dreams. This is a quote from a CIA officer. And then what they're using are non-lethal acoustic weapons. So essentially what you can do, and I'm not saying you can, I'm just saying this is how this works because I've looked it up. You can take a very specific type of frequency. You can tie it towards a laser and you can launch it at a person. And if you hit them in the right spot in their ear, it causes intense pain and incredible vertigo and vomiting and all kinds of things for people. And some folks, it goes away as soon as they stand up and get away from it. And others, it lasts for years. Some folks, it'll be with them for the rest of their life. There was a lady who was an FBI agent who was down in Havana who had this happen to her at her home, no less. She's had to have plates put in her head to help with her dealing with this whole thing. So what does it take? Where's the response? If we have a string of evidence that says this is where it came from, why don't we act? Something. Just my two cents. What do I know? Anyway, it's 30 minutes. People got other things to do. As always, stay smart, stay safe, stay secure. If I can help you, reach out to me. I will put the link to the charity stuff that I'm doing in here. If you got a dollar, $2, $5, stop having one of those expensive coffees at Starbucks and donate to this cause. 100% of it is going to veterans that are in need of treatment, not one of those shenanigan organizations. I know the dude running this place. It is real. It is legit. Please, please, please help me help them. If you got a $300,000 booth at RSA, Company X, you know who you are, you can afford to give $100 or $50 to help veterans. Just saying. Other than that, stay smart, stay safe, stay secure. God bless. I'll catch you next Thursday. Disclaimer, the information in this podcast episode, aka episode, is provided for general information purposes only. By listening to this episode, you understand that this is not specific technical guidance from the host. No information contained in this episode should be construed as security advice from the author, host, or guest, nor is it intended to be a substitute for security advice on any particular subject matter. No listener of this episode should act or refrain from acting on the basis of any information included in or accessible through this episode without seeking the appropriate technical or other professional advice on the particular facts and circumstances that are discussed. This podcast is for informational purposes only. All views expressed therein are those of the host and his guest and should not be considered as being endorsed by nor related to the host or the guest's employers.